the perfect companion at work, at home, and those Wi-Fi hotspots.
It's a high-voltage outfit and will give us plenty of amps.
This is TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio.
It's time for the Race Report. Your full-speed hour of NASCAR news and talk.
Yo, we didn't have much of a choice because we thought we were going to blow up.
Here are your hosts, Steve Barker.
I'm the best there is. Nobody can hang with my stuff.
And Sam Atwell.
You know, I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine.
Ready to talk NASCAR on the Race Report.
Ambrose did a little better restart right there. He might have something right here. He
might be able to racing through this corner.
Kurt Busch right on the back bumper of the 42.
Oh, it does look like that left rear tire on Ambrose's car is what it looks like.
Yeah, definitely he's got some kind of problem now. Yeah.
Well, he's got the inside track heading down into turn one, but
boy, be careful here.
Marcus brakes late and holds on to the position for now. Here comes Kurt. They go down and he finally clears him. Down through the final corner. Juan Pablo Montoya,
good
his
job,
second cup win.
More than anybody else. Great job, everybody.
Marty Reid, Dale Jarrett, Andy Petrie with a call on ESPN of Juan Pablo Montoya's dominating victory at Watkins Glen. Welcome to the Race Report. I'm Steve Parker.
And I'm Sam Atwell.
After running well much of the season with little to show for it, Montoya finally seals the deal at the Glen. We know now where Casey will be next year, and Brian France said next year's Cup schedule would look different. It's going to. Let's talk some NASCAR on the Race Report.
Now with a look at this week's NASCAR news, here's Steve with the racing headlines.
Dominating a race is nothing new for Juan Pablo Montoya. 2.5 weeks ago at the Brickyard, he clearly had the best car, kept it up front nearly all day, but a late call for four tires and a crash shortly after turned a sure trip to victory lane into a day of disappointment and frustration. That's kind of what the season has been like for the 42 team. Strong runs, but not many good finishes to show for them. Sunday at Watkins Glen, Montoya again bolted to the lead early, stayed there nearly all day. Only Marcus Ambrose appeared capable of mounting any kind of challenge, and it truly became a two-man race for the win. But when Ambrose lost the handle late, it was Montoya's race to lose. This time, he didn't, easily taking the checkered flag ahead of Kurt Busch as Ambrose slipped to third. A.J. Allmendinger and Carl Edwards were the rest of the top five. With four races left in the race to the chase, the battle for that final spot has gotten tighter. Mark Martin has moved back into 12th place, but only 10 points up on 13th place Clint Bowyer. Ryan Newman still breathing, 83 points out of the top 12. Jamie McMurray, 94 points behind Martin. After a 26th place finish at the Glen, Dale Earnhardt Jr. has fallen to 16th in the standings, 121 points out of the chase. We now know where Casey Kane will be next season. It was announced earlier in the week Kane will drive for Red Bull Racing in 2011. Kane, of course, is leaving Richard Petty Motorsports and has a contract to drive the 5 car for Hendrick Motorsports starting in 2012. That had led to much speculation about what he would do and what Mark Martin might do next year. Martin has always maintained that he has a contract to drive the 5 for one more season, and that's what he would do. No word yet on what car Kane will drive for Red Bull. Remember, Brian Vickers is sitting out the remainder of this year due to health problems. Scott Speed's future, not a sure thing at this point. The team could also field a third car for Kane. And the shakeup for next season's Sprint Cup schedule has begun. Atlanta and California will lose races as Kentucky Speedway gets a cup race and Kansas Speedway receives a second date. Chicagoland Speedway will now host the first race in the chase. The complete schedule is scheduled to be announced later this month. And those are the racing headlines on The Race Report. Coming up on this edition of The Race Report, Montoya's out of the chase, so he can go for race wins. He may get a few more, too. Four to go in the race to the chase. Looks like it will come down to two drivers. Casey Kane will drive for Red Bull next season, but what car will he be in? We will hear from him and from the Red Bull team general manager. And the full schedule's not been released yet, but already some big changes to the race lineup for the Cup Series in 2011. All that and more coming up when we come back on The Race Report.
Happens on the track or off, Steve and Sam know about it. You're listening to the Race Report.
And a lot of it was happening off the track.
A lot of it did this week, yes.
A lot of news. My goodness.
We're not even to silly season yet.
Not officially. Not officially, but there's been some driver movement, some sponsorship things, and, of course, a lot of racetrack news, schedule changes. A lot going on this week. And,
by the way, it's probably going to be too much show for an hour,
I think, without a doubt. You know, we say that all the time. A lot of times it's not true.
It's not really,
true.
Barely enough.
But this week, yeah, this week, though, it is. It is truly the case this week. And, oh, by the way, there was a race
last Sunday. And didn't we pick Juan Montoya?
No. I picked Tony Stewart.
I picked Jeff Gordon.
You keep picking Jeff Gordon. He keeps stinking. Anyway, let's take a look and see where your favorite driver finished last Sunday at Watkins Glen.
Juan Montoya was your winner. Kurt Busch was second. Marcus Ambrose, strong run, but finished third. A.J. Allmendinger, a strong run, finished fourth. Carl Edwards, wow, another top five for him. He finished fifth. Sixth, Jamie McMurray. Seventh, Tony Stewart. Eighth, Kyle Busch. Ninth, Jeff Burton. Tenth, Jeff Gordon.
Well, see, our picks were both in the top ten.
Well, that's good enough.
But they didn't win. All right, 11th was Kevin Harvick. 12th, Ryan Newman. Matt Kenseth finishes 13th. That's a very good run for him on a road course.
He'll take that.
Sam Hornish Jr., 14th. 15th, Martin Truex Jr. 16th, Paul Menard. Casey Kane finishes 17th. 18th, Andy Lally. 19th, I know, I have no idea. Mark Martin, 19th. He didn't really take advantage of trouble for Clint Bowyer as much as he could have. Brad Keselowski finishes 20th.
21st, Patrick Carpentier. Max Pappas, 22nd. David Ruderman, 23rd. 24th, Greg Biffle, 25th. David Reagan, 26th. Dale Earnhardt Jr., 27th. David Gilliland, 28th. Jimmy Johnson, 29th. Elliot Sadler, 30th. Travis Quappel.
Kevin Conway was 31st, 32nd. Clint Bowyer, there we go. He had problems and really hurt himself as far as chase contention. Joey Logano, 33rd. Regan Smith, 34th. 35th, Bobby Labonte. Robbie Gordon, 36th. Denny Hamlin, 37th. Remember when he used to win a lot?
Yeah.
Joe Nemeth, Skip Borisett, 38th. Remember when he was this road course ace?
Specialist, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Joe Nemechek, 39th. 40th, Ron Fellows. Remember when, no, never mind. P.J. Jones, 41st. Michael McDowell, 42nd. Scott Speed showed up and finishes 43rd. Actually, he's not a start and parker. I had to explain that to somebody this week. Somebody, you know, asking me questions about NASCAR, and they wanted to know about these guys that just run a few laps. And I said, yeah, they're called start and parkers. They just show up for, you know, run a few laps, collect the start money, and away they go. And
Mike, I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah, Michael McDowell, $61,000.
It wouldn't be a bad payday.
Yeah, for just firing it up and running 35 laps before payday. He had an electrical problem. You know, I could shut the ignition off. That was the electrical problem.
Couldn't find the key. Drop the key.
Oh, I hate when that happens. Anyway, Juan Montoya, finally, there's anybody that deserved to win. And I mean, you know, nobody is owed anything in this series. You go out and earn it. But my goodness, he has, since the beginning of the season, you know, when he got off to a rough start with three DNFs in the first five races, you know, it's been just a snake-bitten year for the 42 team.
If they had any luck at all, it was bad.
Yeah, they really picked up where they left off last year as far as performance, running well, running up front,
yep.
But just problem after problem, crashes, mechanical failures, just things not of their doing at all. It just kept killing him as far as finishes, and it killed him as far as making the chase. He will not make the chase this year after making it for the first time last year. Boy, but no more a microcosm of their season than the Brickyard 400 over 2 weeks ago. And he dominated like he did last year, like he did in 2009. Dominated, but a late problem cost him a victory. But he was able to seal the deal on Sunday, and man, he did it in emphatic fashion. That was a two-man race. Ambrose was able to race with him for a while there in the middle of the race. Actually got by him at one point, but and we'll hear from the top finishers later on in the program. Ambrose said he just the handle just went away on the car late in the race for some reason, and that was it. Nobody else had anything for Montoya.
He built up a 6-7 second lead there towards the end. It was incredible. It was incredible.
Gone. Kurt Busch was able to get by Ambrose late in the race as Ambrose faded to third. So Kurt Busch, very good run. That's his career best finish on a road course. And how about AJ?
Yeah.
AJ Allmendinger signs a new contract, and he looks like he's going to be the face of Richard Petty Motorsports now.
I think because everybody else is leaving.
Everybody else is gone. Casey Kane's going to be gone. Paul Menard's going to be gone. But AJ Allmendinger signed a contract extension, so he is going to be the man at Richard Petty Motorsports.
And you know, and he's quietly putting together a string of some pretty decent finishes for him and for that team. So that's a good thing, I think.
Absolutely. And then a top five for Carl Edwards after starting on the pole, narrowly missing Jeff Gordon's track record that stood for 7 years. Edwards didn't miss that by much, and his first road course pole, and I think within about a half a lap he was fifth or sixth, but I mean, still hung on for a top five finish.
And those guys at Roush Fenway Racing seemingly maybe have found something, and they're starting to turn that thing around a little bit
this week at Michigan.
Tail end of the year.
This week at Michigan will be the test.
Yes, it will.
If Roush Fenway is coming, if they are coming back, this will be the week for somebody from that team to do something, because that's a track they've traditionally run very well at.
Yes, it has.
So we'll see. And Jamie McMurray, another strong finish. He's he's still got a pulse as far as making the chase. Four races to go. He's 94 points back. Next segment, we will go in depth on the point standings, although it's coming down to pretty much two guys as far as making the chase, I think. But Ryan Newman and Jamie McMurray still within 100 points. That makes them still alive with four to go. They could still get there. But it may be between Mark Martin and Clinton Poirier. But yeah, good run for McMurray. A little surprising that Tony Stewart only able to finish seventh. He had won that race last year, and he's won it, I can't remember, really, multiple times in recent years. Stewart has just been dominant at Watkins Glen, but only manages a seventh place finish. And as we talked about, Jeff Gordon used to be just the road course master. And I've kind of decided Jeff got good quickly. I mean, he just developed the road course skill pretty early on in his career and was so dominant for so many years. And I don't think he's gotten worse. I just think all
Everybody's
these other guys
better.
Have gotten better. And he's kind of just stayed the same.
Yeah.
He needs to pick his game up a little bit if he's going to win at these places again, because it's been a long time since he's gone to Victory Lane at a road course. In fact,
it's been a long time since he's gone to Victory Lane.
Well, anywhere. Yeah, you're right about that. But Watkins Glen used to be, almost
was a guaranteed win.
Almost. And boy, he's had some really poor runs there in recent years. And really, 10th was about as good as he was all day.
He was lucky to get a top 10.
Yeah, Kevin Harvick had a problem late, and
right.
a couple of guys, including Gordon, got around him, or Gordon wouldn't have even had a top 10 finish there. So, Not the Jeff Gordon of old at the road courses, for sure. All right, stick around. Coming back, and we will take a look at the point standing, see who's where in the race to the chase with just four to go. Coming up when we return on the Race Report.
On NASCAR Talk, you've come to the right place. You're listening to the Race Report.
Indeed you are, and thanks for joining us here on the Race Report.
The big
I'm
show,
Steve.
The big,
hey,
big
Sam.
NASCAR show.
When it is big tonight,
it's huge.
Today, whenever you're listening to us, maybe early in the morning, maybe late in the afternoon, we're not sure. But anyway, it is going to be big, that's for sure.
Huge.
Kevin Harvick's the points leader.
Has been for, I can't remember
I
how
think
long.
So, yeah, since...
Since Jimmy Johnson wasn't.
That's exactly when. I don't know when that was. It was a long time ago. But Jeff Gordon still second. Those, yeah, pretty much everybody pretty locked into the chase now. The race to the chase, it was looking so thrilling and so exciting, like it was going to be five, six guys. It's kind of dwindled down just a little bit towards... Not so much.
Is it going to be Mark Martin or Clint Bowyer?
Mark Martin, Clint Bowyer. And as we mentioned, Ryan Newman, 83 points out of 13.
Probably not.
Tough. Jamie McMurray, 94 back. Probably not, but still could do it. Still possibility. Those guys, especially McMurray, at least running well enough that
he's at least,
I could see it.
He's going in the right direction.
He looks like somebody running well enough right now that maybe he could make that up if Martin and Bowyer have trouble. And those two guys have been inconsistent
this year. They have been. That's true.
I really can't see Martin or Bowyer going the next four races without at least one really bad finish. And I could see Jamie McMurray putting together four pretty good races.
He very well could.
Now, if you want to go down, Ryan Newman, now he's been a little up and down this year. I don't see him putting four real solid races together. Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Yeah,
he's going to put four top fives together.
Yeah,
maybe
the
over the next five years. Exactly.
Jeez.
My goodness, what has happened to him?
He has become the joke. He's
I hate
a joke.
That for him. I mean,
I
really do.
But,
I mean,
you're
the most popular driver in NASCAR and the fan base he has, you want him to do well. The sport needs him to do well.
It ain't happening.
He's not doing well. He's just not. I mean, he's mathematically still in there, but you talk about somebody running well enough to put four races together that could vault him into the chase. He is not the guy. I'd see Casey Kane getting in there before Junior. And Kane's 133 points back in 17th. I could see him. He's not doing it either.
No, he's not either.
But I'd bet if somebody put a gun to my head and said you had to bet on one or the other, I'd bet on Casey Kane.
Yeah.
I'd see him
Junior's
doing it.
He's not showing anything.
No, he's not showing anything. 26th at Watkins Glen last week, where McMurray, another top 10 finish, you know, coming off his win at, Indy. McMurray, maybe. He might have a shot. But it probably, most likely, will come down to Martin and Bowyer over the next five races.
And Bowyer really is not moving in the right direction. They're struggling.
Neither one of them. I mean, Mark gained ground last week because Boyer had a problem, ended up in the garage and finished 32nd. Only finished 19th.
Right. No, he didn't. He didn't. He didn't take advantage of the situation like he should have or could have.
No.
But I just the five team. I don't know what's going on with that team. The inconsistency. I mean, they were so on last year in the chase, and you know, they were battling for the championship.
Well, not only running consistently well as far as performance. Now they had bad luck that made getting into the chase a little bit of a dicey proposition for them as we closed in on race 26 last year.
Right, they did.
But that was because of bad luck. They were performing well. But the thing was, Mark was winning races last year. Winning races.
Yes.
And hasn't come close to winning a race this year.
And they've shown up places and they've just missed it.
Yeah.
They've just not done... I don't know. That's one of the things that intrigues me about this sport is how you can have a team... one year be so dominant, or you have an ownership group that one year is so dominant, and you come back the next season and they're nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
And it just amazes me about this sport.
Well, you know what it does again? It just points again to what an amazing run the 48 team has had.
Oh, well, it just magnifies that, absolutely.
Yeah, because you're right. I mean, these things are cyclical, and usually, you know, a team that really is good for, you know, a couple of years, all of a sudden they'll struggle, like Roush Fenway right now. They're down. Richard Childress Racing. Look how far out of it they were. Well, look how far out of it they were before they made the comeback a few years ago, got all three of their drivers in the chase 2 years in a row, and then they
lost it again.
Gone last year.
Yeah.
I mean, Kevin Harvick was in the 20s in points last year, and he's been the points leader now
for weeks.
I mean, a long time. That's a point right there. They could turn it around that quickly. You know, makes it more amazing how Jeff Gordon's been able to remain a contender for his entire career, basically, without ever having a miserable season.
Even though he's not running, let me rephrase that. Even though he's not winning,
yeah.
They are still running a top quality team, and they're not a threat to win every week, but they're there. They're in the top 10. They're in the top five every week.
Top fives, you're usually a threat to win, and I mean they put together more of those than anybody. You know, he missed the chase 1 year, and there have been a few rare occasions when he's, you know, I've been thinking back to the 99 season when Ray Evernham left, and they struggled a little bit there early in 2000 when Robbie Loomis came over. But for the most part, they've been solid pretty much since Gordon first started winning back in 1994. You know,
Has he finished lower than 13th in points in how long?
No, I don't know.
Because he finished 13th the year he missed the chase.
Right, yeah, he was the 13th place guy.
And I can't remember him finishing lower than that. I can't.
Well, was it, I'm trying to think. I think it was still only 10 guys got in the year that he missed it. And I think he finished
11th. Or it was 11th. Yeah,
I'm sorry. Finished 11th.
So that's right.
That was the deal. So 11th is the worst he's finished.
That I can remember.
Yeah, in a long, long time. Well, we'll have to see, but it looks like it's going to come down to Mark Martin and Clint Boyer for that final chase spot. And we've got 4 weeks to decide it. Maybe Jamie McMurray can keep it going and sneak in there. We'll have to see. But as far as Dale Earnhardt Jr., it's over. Wait till next year. Maybe the year after.
Maybe after that.
Maybe the year after that. We'll see. Coming back with the second half of the race report after this.
On the track or off, Steve and Sam know about it. You're listening to the Race Report.
Welcome back to the Race Report. There was a lot of news off the track this week, but we'll focus on what happened on the track first. That, of course, was the race at Watkins Glen last Sunday. Juan Montoya gets the dominating victory. Nobody had anything for him except maybe Marcus Ambrose for a little while. But then even at the end, Marcus couldn't keep up with the 42. And Montoya says after these near misses, and especially at Indy, this win was important for his team.
Yeah, I think it's nice. We executed right. I think we did what we had to all day, and we ran really smart. I think, you know, yesterday we had a good talk with Chip. The last few weeks have been really frustrating for the whole team. Because we've been so close to victory, and it seemed to keep slipping away, and to come out here today and get the job done the way we did today was big.
And of course, make no mistake about it, if you watched the race the week before at Pocono, the race after Indy, Montoya and Brian Patty weren't exactly exchanging pleasantries on the radio.
Well, they were.
Montoya was pretty unhappy with the four tire call that he feels cost him the Brickyard 400. And
but you
know
did.
The thing is though, you know, you win and lose as a team. You, driver can't be going after his crew chief and getting on his crew chief or making a call like that.
But Montoya is such a fiery competitor.
You know, he is. I love listening to him talk. I like Montoya. I do think he is a fiery competitor, but I'm really glad he won last week because he had had some frustrating days this year. And he goes on talking about the fact that, the troubles early on in the season kind of really doomed their chase chances. So now he can race a little more aggressively and go for those wins.
Yeah, I think last year we were so focused on really making that chase that it was all about numbers. It wasn't about being fast or slow. It was about bringing the car home every week. And this year we thought we were going to do the same thing. And then race two, we had a blown motor. Then race three, taken out with the teammate, I don't think it was on purpose, but we tangle and all of a sudden, by race five, we had three DNFs. And when you got, three DNFs out of five races and then DNFs keep happening, then you got to be realistic of what's going to happen. And, you got to start being more aggressive and a lot of mistakes came from my part and the team, everybody. And I think this will really bring the team together and I think bring great things for the future.
Yeah, winning has a way of doing that, bringing the team together.
Winning does bring the team together. And, getting back to that Indianapolis debacle for the 42 team, Brian Patty made the call for four tires. Tony Stewart took four tires in that race as well and finished second. Remember, it was one that basically put the car in the wall.
Well, he got a little...
I'm glad he mentioned I made a couple of mistakes, too.
Yeah, hitting the wall was one of those.
The four-tire call may have doomed them for winning, but, like I said, Tony Stewart took four tires, too, and ended up finishing second. And Montoya still put the car in the concrete
right after that.
So that wasn't all Brian Patty's fault, even though he took pretty much the full blame for losing that race. Kurt Busch, his career best finish on a road course, second place, and he talks about it.
Yeah, it was a great effort. Real proud of the way that our race went today. It didn't seem like there was one single hiccup. We got a solid pit stop, solid strategy, and just the way that we came together after yesterday's practice, not knowing if we had enough speed. We changed quite a few things on a Miller Lite Dodge, and Steve Addington and the guys are very smart, and they're on top of their game, and I really enjoyed today's race.
I'm sure he enjoys finishing second. He had the best look at Juan Montoya there late, but he was still about... Oh.
Well, yeah, it was a long-distance look.
I needed binoculars to see the back.
Who's that up there?
Yeah, it was that 42 car disappearing in the distance. And I think maybe a little bit of a sentimental favorite for a lot of people. I know for me, although I was kind of pulling for Montoya too, but Marcus Ambrose, after just flat-out giving away a victory at Sonoma back in June... I was hoping Marcos could maybe pull it off at Watkins Glen, because face it, right now, this is his only real shot at winning
a cup race
on a road course, and he gave it a good go, but had to settle for third.
Well, it's been a good weekend for him, but I got to tell you, it doesn't feel nice to finish third. I want to win so bad in the Cup Series, and I knew this was a really good chance for me, and we had a great race car. Something just went wrong there in the last pit stop. We just lost a hand on the race car. Maybe a different set of tires, maybe slightly different spring rate in the tires or something, but we lost a handle on it, and I had nothing for Montoya there towards the end, but congratulations to him. He drove a heck of a race. It's just a lot of fun racing a guy with that much talent. He was swinging around the corners and jumping curbs and locking tires, and it was just a really good battle, and something I'll take away from this weekend is as a memory I'll never forget.
And of course, Ambrose did get the win in the Nationwide Series race.
He did.
At Watkins Glen on Saturday, so he did refer to the good weekend. That was part of it. Two out of the three guys, did you notice?
Is this the Indy Series we're covering? Or
yeah.
What is this?
Drive for diversity there. We have Montoya, Ambrose, speaking some different language or something there.
Those
guys talk funny. And Marcos Ambrose and Juan Montoya. But anyway... It was a good race for second.
There was nothing for first.
Yeah, Montoya just crushed him. I mean, there's no doubt about that. All right, stick around. When we come back, we will hear from Casey Kane and Jay Fry, general manager of Red Bull Racing. A little bit of a surprise maybe this week, as it's announced that Casey Kane will spend his little transitional season at Red Bull Racing next year. But what does that mean for Brian Vickers? What does that mean for Scott Speed?
What does it mean to the world?
I don't know.
We'll find out.
Maybe they'll tell us. We're coming back with more on the Race Report.
You can can almost smell the hot oil and burnt rubber through the radio. Or maybe that's just Steve and Sam. You found the race report.
Welcome back to the race report. Some of the big off-track news we've kind of referred to already this week was the announcement that Casey Kane would be driving for Red Bull Racing next season. He, of course, is leaving Richard Petty Motorsports, has the contract to move to Hendrick Motorsports and drive the 5 car in 2012. But, of course, that led to a lot of speculation. What does he do in that transitional season next year? Mark Martin was contractually locked up to drive the 5 car for one more season. But in spite of that, Mark's been asked about a bajillion times, so, Mark, what are you going to do next year if Casey drives the 5 car? Mark kept saying, I'm driving the 5 car next year. Well, look, guess what? Mark's going to be in the 5 car. Casey Kane has to go do something else, and that's going to be driving a Red Bull Toyota
now,
with
where,
some number on
where
it.
He's gonna, which one he's going to drive is a little bit of a question mark.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned that Red Bull would make this move. I'm a little concerned about Brian Vickers' health. I'm wondering if they made this move because they're not sure if he's going to be back.
Well, we'll see.
Or if Scott Speed's not going to be back, or I don't know.
Let's hear from the guys involved.
Well, that would be the
Casey Kane, and then team general manager Jay Fry will be coming up. But here's Casey Kane on the move to Red Bull.
You know, really looking forward to working with Red Bull, working with all the guys there. And I think, you know, from the start, Rick told me that we were going to work together. And when it came down to it, we're going to work together and figure out exactly what team we wanted to go with this year. And when he came up with the Red Bull deal, he was working with Jay on that. And, you know, I was actually thought it was a pretty neat opportunity. So I think it's really pretty cool. Looking forward to it. And, yeah, I was definitely involved with Mr. Hendrick and the final decision on where I would actually end up in 2011.
Casey Kane talking about the fact that he was involved in the decision. This wasn't just something Rick Hendrick put together and said, hey, here's what you're doing. Casey kind of worked on this with him. And he says, even though all the talk about what he was going to do next year didn't really bother him for a while, he's pretty glad this is all over with now.
You know, for a while there, it didn't really bother me. You know, I knew it was in Mr. Hendrick's hands and that it would all work out you know, really well. And then after a bit, I started to think more about it. And I think it just, you know, with the things, you know, going on with Mark, whether people said I was going to be in the 5 or he was going to be in the 5, you know, and the other options at the same time, I just, to me, it feels really good to be secure for next year, to have a really good deal with Red Bull. And yeah, I mean, I just think it's nice to have it over with. It's nice to know what I'm doing and to really have a positive attitude and looking forward to it. I think those guys can really run well. They have in the past, and I think we can do it again.
General Manager Jay Fry talking about going out and getting Casey Kane, even if it's just for one season.
Well, that would be the biggest thing is, you know, which car he's going to be in, obviously, putting the team around him. We've got some great people here that have done some really good things over the last couple of years. So, again, this happened very quickly. What we do know is we're very excited that Casey Kane is going to be in one of the Red Bull cars, you know, 2011. You know, we'll put a very, very good effort around him for next season. It's kind of like somebody asked the other day, too, you know, why, what's in this for Red Bull? Well, it's kind of like the same deal with the Vikings. Why would the Vikings hire or try to sign Brett Favre for 1 year? Well, it's because they want to win. They want to win now. And Brett Favre is a proven commodity, proven winner. That's the same thing that Casey Kane is. So we're going into next season knowing we have a winner and a proven commodity in one of our cars, and we're, you know, quite excited about that.
Yeah. So Brett Favre is going to drive for Red Bull Racing next season? No wonder he's not going to play football.
If his ankle's healthy.
Well, can he race if his ankle's not healthy?
He probably could. He can do anything. Oh, I'm sorry, please. A little behind the scenes here. I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan, and these guys give me a hard time about Brett Favre. So just funny, a funny coincidence that Jay Fry mentioned Brett Favre in his
conversation
there.
Yeah, sure was
and
a coincidence.
And talking about Scott Speed, Brian Vickers, what's going to happen? Well, Jay Fry addressed that.
I just don't know where they're going to put
Favre. A lot of options being that we're only a two-car team. Right now with Brian, we continue to monitor his health. He's doing great. I mean, things are looking, you know, very, very good with him. But at this point, we still don't know. You know, we're only halfway through the process that he's got to go through. Scott, you know, we've got a couple years into that program. It needs to get better. We're working hard to get him better and do what we need to do to get him better. But, you know, we have options. And that's one of the things, you know, if you would have said 2 months ago or 3 months ago, would Casey Kane be one of the Red Bull drivers in 2011, I probably would have said no. But, you know, it's the same thing with expanding. You know, is it possible to expand? Sure. You know, we have the ability to do that. Is that what's going to happen? At this point, we're unclear.
What you say as he was starting that, what are they going to do with Favre?
Yeah, what are they going to do with Favre? Yeah,
got another car, for him.
Four-car team?
Yeah. You know what? What's your feeling? My gut feeling?
Scott Speed's
gone. I don't think you're going to see them expand to a three-car
operation. And that is a gut reaction because there's you heard him say, well, they've got to improve. Well, goodbye.
See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya.
I wonder if there's a chance Casey Kane is in that car before the end of the season.
I don't know. I mean, they're not going to make the chase. So the last 10 races would be a time to maybe start gearing toward next year. Speed's not going to do anything.
Kane's not going to be at Budweiser next year.
No, it looks like that's going to be moving over to RCR. That's going to be on the Kevin Harvick, the 29 car. That's a good point. Why not? I mean, why not put Kane, we're going to run out of time here and go to the break, but why not put Kane in the 83 car? They just basically been, stuck Reed Sorensen in there.
Well, exactly.
Casey Mears in there for a while.
That's a great idea.
And I mean, Vickers isn't coming back this year.
No,
there? Why not get him? That'll happen.
That's a great idea. They probably will take it right off the show and say, hey, those guys said it. We need to do this.
Yeah, that'll probably happen. At least, Brian Vickers, your full-time driver in the 83 car, is not back this season. So, absolutely, why not move Casey Kane into that car and let him get started working with the Red Bull guys?
I think so. Good call.
Yeah, you're brilliant on that
I
one. Stick around. We're coming back and wrapping up the race report after this.
NASCAR talk, you've come to the right place. You're listening to The Race Report.
Welcome back to The Race Report. Steve Parker along with Sam Atwell. And again, more off-track news this week. In addition to the Casey Kane announcement, as we touched on briefly before we went to the break there, Budweiser, not official yet. And of course, nobody will say anything until it's official. But looks like they will be on the 29 car of Kevin Harvick at RCR starting next season. Penske, of course, is leaving that team. Harvick has signed the contract extension to remain with the 29. That'd be a pretty good deal. I mean, that's one of the longtime sponsors in NASCAR, and move over to Kevin Harvick. I think that'd be a pretty good fit there. That would be good for RCR. RCR is also going to have another car, another team. Paul Menard will bring his. He's done a little better this year.
Please.
He's made some noise.
Where's he at in the points? Let's see.
I don't know.
73rd. No. Wait.
He's in the top 20. I'll bet. Is he in the top 20?
I don't know. I don't have
you
it
just,
in my
I know. You
here.
Just throw it away. I know how it goes.
Paul Menard,
I can look here real quick. Paul Menard is
the only reason he's getting this ride is 23rd. Because his daddy has the dough to
finance his
racing career.
You didn't say that out loud.
Yes, I did. I always say what I think out loud. Sometimes it gets me in trouble, but hey, that's it. What has he done? What has he done?
Well,
23rd in points.
And only three top tens. I would have bet you money that he had done better than that.
Yeah,
that surprised me a little bit.
You doubted me? Yeah. Come on.
I shouldn't.
You should not
I
ever
should
do
know
that.
Better than that by now.
But seriously, Richard Childress, he contracts from four teams to three teams. They get that operation kind of running on the right, go in the right direction and everything. Now they bring in a fourth team with some money, but a driver who's... second tier.
Go ahead, be mean.
Not even second tier.
Mean, nasty man.
We'll see, but
I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I mean, they had the three-car operation really running strong again after certainly a bump in the road last year. But now you've got still potentially all three of your drivers could make the chase. Kevin Harvick, Jeff Burton are in. They're locked in.
They're
Clint
done.
Boyer still got a shot. So you could get all three teams in again. Yeah, I don't know why you bring in a fourth team. And again, not a driver that's... not done all that much, quite frankly.
Okay, look at the history of four-car teams and the time that Roush had five cars.
Yeah.
With one year exception, when Roush had five of his drivers in the chase.
The 10-team chase. He had half the chase field. That was when it was still 10.
The multi-car teams with that many teams, even Hendrick Motorsports can't get four teams to run competitively.
No. We'll see. I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I'm not disagreeing at all with what you're saying. We'll just have to see if it works out. Richard Childress, I think, is probably smarter than you and I, so we'll have to wait and see if it works out for him. For Paul Menard, I've had a chance to talk to him a couple of times.
He's a nice guy,
Kansas Speedway, and I'd like to see him do well. Just kind of waiting. And, for his sake, too, so people will stop saying that the only reason he's got a cup ride is because of his dad's sponsorship.
Well, the way to make that happen.
Yes, indeed. Real quick, we're going to run out of time here because, of course, it is too much show for an hour. But we do want to talk about the big news off the track this week. Schedule changes. The schedule not officially announced yet, but we do know, and we're excited about this.
It's going to affect our lives.
We're here in the Kansas City area. Kansas Speedway gets a second race date, June 3rd and 4th. They're putting lights up at the track.
It was the 4th and 5th.
Well, maybe it's the 4th. I don't know. It's the first weekend of June. I don't have a calendar
of June.
My gosh, picking on me for that. At any rate, they're putting lights up as we speak. In fact, I think there's a guy screwing a light bulb in right now. But they will not have a night race next season. But 2012, just about guaranteed they'll be racing that June race under the lights. They're not putting those lights up not to turn them on. So
no, and it's too cold to race it in October.
Yeah. But Kansas Speedway gets two races in June. They'll keep their date in October. Chicagoland will kick off the chase. So I don't know.
Phoenix will be the second race of the season.
California
loses a date.
And Atlanta lose race dates. Don't care about California. You could take them both, and I wouldn't mind. But I, and you can't argue with it because Atlanta can't sell out and hasn't for a long time.
No.
But Atlanta's still my favorite racetrack.
I love to watch them race there.
Maybe they can pack the stands.
And we'll still have the Labor Day weekend race there.
Yeah.
Which will be exciting.
Yeah. I do love Atlanta. I love the racing there. So from that standpoint, I hate to see it lose a race. But
there
again,
are some tracks
the market had become stale. The market had become a little stale. You and I both dislike New Hampshire and Pocono. Would love
they
to see them
both.
You know
lose
what?
A race.
They both sell out both their races.
I know, but still.
And as long as they're doing that, they're probably not going to lose them. By the way, there's a race this week
there
in Michigan.
Michigan?
Should we pick a winner as we run out of time here? Denny Hamlin won there back in June.
Matt Kenseth,
so you think the Roush Fenway comeback...
I'm just throwing something out there, okay?
You know what?
Okay?
I think you're right, but I'm going to go with Carl Edwards. So we'll see what happens.
Well, then you don't think I'm right because you disagree
I think Roush has found something.
Roush
That's
racing.
The part
okay.
that I'm
All
agreeing
right.
with. All right.
Well,
thanks
good
for
go.
Joining us. Talk to you next week on The Race Report.
Good job, guys! Woo! All you guys done a heck of a job.